He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
Okay, due to popular demand, we are back with another TikTok trend. I am going to run from my law enforcement / retired college D1 athlete husband, okay? And to make it fair, he's going to start from inside and give me a head start, at least 5 seconds. 5 second rule.
You chuck it on your sister, you chuck it on that one, and you chuck it on me. Bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
You know, when we watch those videos of those couples, isn't that crazy? Have we ever done anything like that?
Not particularly like that, but yeah, we've done goofy things.
What have we done that's so goofy?
Well, I remember the time you did really chase me.
When did I really chase you?
In 1990.
Oh, we're going to go there.
We are.
Welcome to Ministry of the Badge. I'm Chaplain Gonzo. As you can see, I have a co-host with me today. It's my wife, Paula. We're going to talk.
My name?
We're going to talk about marriage and the badge. And you know what's interesting is as couples, you get into this line of work and you really aren't prepared for it. Were we really prepared?
Not even close.
Not even close. No, and there's no way to prepare. We were married, 5 years before I became a cop, right?
We were married about six.
6 years. Okay, so we were close. Married. Yeah, well, okay. We've been married 34 years, that I do remember, and we actually have two marriage dates, the 22nd and the 26th, and we won't get into all of that. But
we should.
No, we don't need to get into all of that. Look, the reason why we wanted to do this episode, I wanted to do this episode, was we understand as a former cop and a cop's wife, the hard times it is on this job, but it's as well as having fun. And that's why we started out the program with those videos of those cops chasing their wives. It's hilarious. If we had to do that now, there's no
He'd
way.
Die.
I absolutely would die.
Kidding. No. I have a chance of beating you, babe.
Yeah, she might actually outrun me on this. She would outrun me at this time. Believe me, I'm broken compared to the way I used to be. But so what did you think, or did you think anything at all when I told you? I mean, you had always known when we first went out, I had talked about being a cop.
Yes.
So you kind of knew. Did you have any idea what that was going to entail?
No, honestly, I didn't. The good news is that I did have a few people in my life that were cops that my parents were close to. So I had a tiny idea of what their life was, but living it is a whole different thing.
When you say living it is a whole different thing, why is that a whole different thing?
I don't think you are prepared for the, I don't know if I'd call it fear, but I guess a little bit of the anxiety of every time your spouse walks out the door, is this going to be the last time I see him? And yes, that can be in any situation, whether you're driving up north or, you know, whatever. I mean, we just lost a person to a tragic accident, and he was hiking, you know, and so yes, there's always that possibility this will be the last day that I see you. But I think the reality is a little bit more when it's a cop, because you're actually running to the danger. You're not avoiding the danger. And I think as a wife, as children of cops, you are never fully prepared for what may come.
Yeah, and again, being in the job is one thing, right? When yes. when I go to work, or when I went to work at the time, I guess for me, I tried to not put too much thought into it, because it was, right. you know, then it becomes a little more distracting. Of course, I knew, of course, you guys were at home.
Yes.
When we went through the riots, you that guys would, hard. Yeah, you guys would call me. And, you know, I do my best to comfort you the best yes. I could, and the kids the best I could. So there is all of that. And that's kind of why we're doing this episode. We're going to kind of make this a two-parter. Paula and I do ministry for cops, and we call it SOS, Surviving the Officer Involved Shooting. And we will get into that on another episode of this part two episode of Ministry of the Badge. But today we wanted to come to you and show you how you can make it through, you know, up until that point, what, 30, 31 years, right? When me as a cop.
Yes.
Yeah. We had been married 31 years. We've been married 34 years now. So there is light at the end of that tunnel, and you can keep going, because it is a job unlike many other jobs. And as you just heard her share, there are things that you have to think about as a cop and as a cop's wife. And if you're both cops, we've also been confronted with that. So we'll kind of cover those kind of topics today. But I guess, Paula, what I wanted to emphasize is you said that you weren't quite prepared. Mm-hmm. You kind of understood because you knew people who were cops. Mm-hmm. You saw their wives. But did you ever engage with them about them being cops' wives?
No, never. One, they were older than me,
yeah.
and they were friends with my parents. But I didn't see the hard times that they may or may not have gone through, because when I saw them, you know, we were in an environment, we were having fun. You know, my parents were in a bowling league with some of them. You know, church outings that we were at. And so I didn't see
your dad played softball.
And my dad played softball with a couple of them. And so I didn't see the, I guess, the quote, scary parts of their life. And of course, this was, you know, in the mid 80s and early 90s that I knew them. And I feel like the environment was a little different then. And I could be wrong. I mean, if I talked to them today, would they tell me that as well? Because I do have communication with a few of them, and they definitely say they don't think they would want to be a cop today.
Interesting. And again, these are topics that when we go on the road and we speak to couples, what are some of the topics, and again, we're going to get into the serious topics of it, but what are some of the topics that you've heard wives ask you about after you get done doing your presentation? We've done presentations for cops at a program called ILETA. You guys have heard me talk about that in Ministry of the Badge. What are some of the conversations that you have had with wives regarding today? Because I noticed you pointed that out today. Mm-hmm. You know cops from back then that said today they wouldn't want to be a cop. Why is that?
I think that the environment has changed a lot. There's so much animosity towards cops, which I don't understand, because the first person you want at your side is when you call 911 is a cop. And yet cops are, for lack of better words, damned if they do and damned if they don't. And as wives, you know, we, spouses, I should emphasize spouses. That right. isn't fair for me just to say wives. Right. But as a spouse, we see our cop as a human being. We see our cop as a dad, a husband, you know, a grandfather. We don't see them in the badge, you know, out there enforcing the law. And so we don't understand why there's so much animosity towards this person that we know is kind and gentle and caring and whatever else. They don't understand that you're just a human being and you were hired to enforce the law. And, you know, when you're a guilty person, you reflect that guilt. And I feel like with criminals or people that are misbehaving, you know, reflect their behavior back on your badge. And I think as a wife, you're like, how dare you speak about my husband that way?
And I think that's natural. I think with spouses, I've heard you say many times, I mean, you get far more upset than even I do when people say things to me. And I guess because when it's said to me all of the time, and it was said to me all of those times, I guess that's part of being a cop, is you kind of have that thick skin. It kind of bounces right off, but you absorb a lot of that. Is that fair to say?
That is true.
Yeah. And there it is. There is a key difference, right? Ladies and gentlemen who are cops, your spouses don't necessarily understand how it could just kind of bounce off you. It sticks to them.
Yes.
Is that a fair thing to say?
I would agree with that.
Yeah. And it's hard for us to understand because we're in the midst of doing it. We're in the midst of doing the job, yet they take it personally because they see it differently than we do. We expect people to be the way they are towards us. And they don't understand. Is that a fair statement?
I agree. I mean, when you first became a cop, you know, you and I, we had a lot of fun. You know, we got married young. We had children young. And like we said, we were 6 years into our marriage and you became a cop. Yeah. And within that first year, things changed. You know, you were, I mean, everybody was a criminal and everybody was a liar. And I was like, wait, what? Wait, how? Because I used to have rose-colored glasses and everything was wonderful and great and people were wonderful and trustworthy. And all of a sudden to you, they weren't. And I didn't understand that. And so I took the opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to go on a ride along with him. I want to see what his world is like. And you weren't for it at first. You're like, no. But I'm a little bit strong and mule-headed. And you finally agreed and you took me on ride-alongs and I went on several ride-alongs with you. And I think that really opened my eyes to what you deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, I didn't get to see the gruesome things, thank God. But I did get to see the people lie to you right to your face. I did get to see those people spit on you. I did get to see a person bite you and draw blood. You know, I saw a person try to fight with you. I saw a suspected gun person hiding under a car as you walk past. You know, I got to see the danger that you were truly in and see why you became, I guess, jaded.
Yeah. So let's explore that a little bit. You said the first year I changed, right? And explain how I changed. I mean, I could kind of see, right? I can kind of see, but I was living it. I was in it. So what did you see that maybe I wasn't aware of?
Well, first of all, you never could have your back to the door. You're always watching. You're always telling me to, you know, watch my environment, look who's around me, be aware, had your head on a swivel, you know, to the point where my kids were even doing the same thing, you know, your surroundings and, you know, that guy's lying, that guy's this, that guy's that, and just all these different things. But just even like your, I want to say demeanor almost even changed. You weren't as lighthearted as you once were. You became a little bit more, I don't even know what the word would be. I wouldn't want to say angry because that's not the right word, but just kind of not as lighthearted. I don't know. I don't know what word I would actually use.
There is no doubt that you become jaded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the nicest word you can use, right?
But you are jaded. To a degree.
Yeah, you become jaded, and so that led you to want to do ride-alongs.
Yes.
And you made that decision on your own, as you said, because I was against it. And look, there are probably some of you that are listening to the show or watching this show and going, there's no way I'd let my spouse do a ride. There's no way I would, because I'm trying to X, Y, and Z protect them from, you know, what I see and what I do. And like you said, you're stubborn, you're mule headed.
Yes.
And it was probably best that she was that way, because I would have, you know, is it fair to say if you would have allowed me to just take control and overrule you, would that have not have been a good thing? I don't think.
It would not have been a good thing.
No. So,
I would have lost my own identity.
Ah, there's something interesting. Explore that a little bit more. So you went on a ride along to better understand me, your thoughts. I was against it, but that's interesting. Lost your identity. Flesh that out for me a little bit.
I think because as your wife, I made a vow to you to honor you, to respect you, and for you to lead my house spiritually. But I did not make a vow to you to be, for lack of better words, a doormat, you know, for you to walk on me and to take advantage of my feelings. But if I would have just not taken the time to find out what has caused this change, I think I would have backed off from you, not been the wife that I needed to be to you. And that is who I am. I am a wife to you, and I'm a mother to my children. And I think it would have stolen that from me, which I wanted to be all my life. You know, I dreamed of being a mom and a wife. That's what I wanted. I wanted, my mother was a great example of a mom and a wife and how to be a mom and a wife. And my mother strove to be a good wife, and I wanted to be a wife like her. And I think I would have been challenged had I would not have been able to understand the man that I married had changed.
So you said something about losing your identity. Is that the identity you're then talking about? Yes. The wife that you wanted to be?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously then, I mean, the question seems to be obvious. So you would recommend say a cop's wife or I should say spouse listens to this show. Explain to the officer, the one who wears the badge. And remember, this is not just about cops either. I mean, I was a street cop. This is about the ICE officer who's out there right now. This is about the, you know, Border Patrol guy who may be spending a lot of time away from home right now. Yes. This is about the air marshal, which we knew an air marshal. We know an air marshal. Yep. And the difficulties they go through and what their spouses have to go through. So, Secret Service guy, I would talk to you about the Secret Service guys. Those guys are gone FBI, all the time. Yep. FBI guys. Yeah, DOJ, we've talked to a lot of those guys. So obviously a lot of those guys may not be able to do ride-alongs or their spouses may not be able to do ride-alongs. So, but to the street cop, to the deputy, tell me why they should. Tell them why they should. Think about it. At least consider it.
I think that as a cop, you are trying so hard to protect your spouse from all of the ugly that you see. One of the things that, you know, we've talked about with other cops is the movie that plays in their head over and over and over, and it keeps them up at nighttime that they constantly see. And as a wife, I don't want to see what you've seen. But at the same time, if I don't have a small idea, I can't understand why you don't want to come home and talk to me the first thing when you walk in the door. I don't understand why you just want to be left alone for an hour after you get home from work. Because my personality is, I want to jump into your arms and be happy and excited that you came home safe. And you're going, don't touch me. Leave me alone. Let me have an hour, whatever it is. You know, I don't want to hear what the kids did today. I don't want to do any of that. And it, like I said, the first year, it was very hard for me because I didn't understand that. And that's not who you were. You were always interested in what the kids were doing or what I was doing or whatever. At least you pretended to be. but anyway, I think that them going on a ride along with you is eye-opening to a wife to go, oh, I get it. I understand why he acts like that. And some of you wives or husbands don't want to do a ride-along. But as a cop, if you're very adamant against the ride-alongs, don't close yourself up. Don't shut down and not communicate. You know, I remember the first time you told me about a traffic accident or a pedestrian got hit by a car and, well, their brains were laying on the ground. And you said that we decided it was going to be a long night. We'll order pizza right on scene. And you were making jokes about the pizza and the brains on the ground. And I thought, you're disgusting. How could you possibly do that? That's gross. But I went on a ride along with you and I realized that that humor is the only way for you to stay sane, for you to be able to look at that horrifying stuff and relate it back to something that's not horrifying. And I don't feel like I would have ever been able to understand that had I would not have gone on the ride-alongs with you. And I probably did, over your 26 years, I probably did over 20 ride-alongs, well over 20 ride-alongs. I betcha.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And after a while, I mean, there was even a time you had to call in the radio for me, right?
I did.
To get some help.
I did.
Yeah, you sure
did.
Because
your portable stopped working, and so I had to call out for you.
And if you notice, she knows how to use the lingo, too. You know, I think a lot of times what I hear from cops, and I think when we go and do these ministries that we've done, there seems to be a misunderstanding on them wanting to protect their spouses.
Yes.
I think what they believe is by keeping from them that which they see, it's going to somehow shield their vulnerability for their spouses or whatever. But is it fair to say that you know exactly what's going on
with us
when it's happening? Explain a little more.
Yes. I would say, yes, we know exactly what's going on, that you're changed, that your personality is different, that you're hiding. I wouldn't say hiding something, but you're keeping something inside. Like you're not letting it out. You're burying that away. You're trying to shut the movie screen off. And we know that because your whole body language changes, you know. And there are times I'd say, what happened last night? Well, before I started doing ride-alongs, you never wanted to say what happened that night. And when I started doing ride-alongs and getting you to open up a little bit more, you started telling me things. And there are things I wish you had never told me. But as your wife, I'm glad you told me, because it's not fair for you to have to hold that inside. And even with like the whole pizza and things like that, that is all cop humor. And that is great for you mentally. But you also need that other side that goes, oh, that's disgusting or whatever, that poor guy to keep you on an even balance. And I think as your wife or your husband, for those who are married to men that are married to cops, that is your job, is to be a balance. You know, in our marriage, we I've always said to you, this is an equal opportunity marriage.
Yeah.
I always have said that to you.
Yeah.
And as a Christian, I believe you're the spiritual head of my household, but I also believe this is an equal opportunity marriage. And if I can't balance you out, then who's going to?
That's interesting that you say that, because we as officers tend to see things just through our own lenses, right? It's very hard for us because we are type A personalities, but I would suggest that you are also a type A personality.
I am a type A personality.
And
for sure.
You know, and when you're married to a type A personality, just remember that they may not be cops like you, but their personality is very much take charge. I would suggest, you look at Donald Trump, you look at our president. Now, I'd be willing to bet Melania Trump, she stands back a little bit, but that woman is smart. And I would bet you she's a type A personality. And she's the type of person that, like you, plays a role for her husband, but yet well capable of taking care of herself. And I firmly believe that with you. And maybe that was what, and I don't even really know what changed my mind to let you ride along with me.
I think I nagged you too.
You well, yes. Yeah, that's a fair statement, right? Yeah, that's probably exactly
that's
it.
That's exactly. But I also knew a cop. And I said I'd just call him and ask him.
Well, yeah.
He would let me ride along with you.
Yeah, you did do that. You pull rank on me. Yeah, so yes. So that is true. Mm-hmm. All of those factors. But again, we can laugh about it now. Oh, yeah. But it helped. And it helped because later on when in my career, when I'm 6-7 years into it, man, we hit something that we – man, there was no way to prepare for that. And again, we'll get into that on part two. But for now, let's keep it a little light. So you did the ride-alongs. Mm-hmm. You say this all the time. Like, I'm so absent-minded at times or you'll say I'm so spacey. But when I get on the job, and maybe that's fair. I don't know. But anyway, when I get on the job, you see a switch.
Yes.
Explain to me that switch.
So I think that once that badge goes on, you have a mindset like this is what I have to do. You know it well. And I think it's a protection thing as well. You know, at home, you're safe. You know, you don't have to worry about, am I going to pull a gun and kill you or, you know, whatever. At least you would hope not.
Yeah, at least I hope. Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like your home should be where you're safe. Where you should feel like you can say whatever you need to say within reason, obviously, and still be safe. When you put that badge on, I think it's almost like, you know, the Bible talks about putting on the full armor of God. Hmm. And when you put that badge on, you put that vest on, you're putting on the armor and you're going out. And it's not a fight per se, but it could turn into a fight. And I think you prepared yourself for that. And the Bible talks about when you put the full armor of God on, you know, you can go out and you're prepared to face what the world has for you.
And by the way, she didn't see the episode that I had done before about the full armor of God. So it's funny that you bring that up because I just got done doing an episode regarding that.
Oh.
But so when I'm at home during those times, mm-hmm. I was a lot less guarded, you would say?
I would say you were a lot less guarded as far as worrying about your safety. Even like when the kids would get in arguments, you were flippant about it. Like, who cares? You know, like, you take care of it however you want to do it. I don't think it was because you didn't care that they were arguing or whatever, but you knew that you could let your guard down and it would all be just taken care of. You didn't have to be a cop at home.
Yeah, although the kids would tell you that, and you had said to me at times, we are not your criminal. I heard that.
That is true.
I heard that more than once throughout my time as a cop.
Yep.
So there had to be times where I would.
There would be times.
And the kids have said it too. They said it to me later on. They at times didn't need cop dad. They just needed me to be dad. Flesh that out for me, would you?
So there were times if they were being naughty or whatever, that if you were in a mood, whether you had a bad day at work or, you know, you were dealing with a drunk or whatever the case might have been, especially after your incident happened, where you'd go... You're a very long, you have a very long
fuse,
thank you. You have a very long fuse. See, we balance each other. You have a very long fuse. So when your fuse was short and you exploded, it was a whole different ballgame. And the way that you would talk to us at times, you would question us like you were in an interrogation. And the kids would be looking at you like, wait, what? I mean, like, I have a messy room. What? Why are you asking me like that? What? Or whatever the case might have been. Or even at times when we were talking, and if we didn't agree on something, you would start interrogating me. Like, wait, buddy, I'm not a liar. I'm not a criminal. I'm not the drug dealer you just arrested last night.
Yeah.
Don't treat me like that. Yeah. If you want to have a civil argument with me, I'll win. But you know what I mean? Let's argue fair.
Yeah, right.
Let's argue fair. Let's end fair. And never forget to say I'm sorry at the end.
That's interesting. So there's two things that you brought up. The kids. Mm-hmm. What did you tell the kids? And one of these days I want to do a show with the kids. I think that would be interesting. But and they've agreed. A couple of them have agreed to come on. We have six. Mm-hmm. So what did you tell them?
Well, most of the time I would just say to them, you know what? Dad is in looking out for your best interest. You know, he doesn't mean to be mad at you. He doesn't mean to. I said, you just have to step back. And I said, you have to take him seriously to the point where you need to behave. But sometimes when he gets a little carried away and he's interrogating or he's saying things that he'd say to get a confession or whatever it might be, you have to look at it and go, oh, I understand why. And our kids, some of them went on ride-alongs with you.
Yeah.
Because they got old enough and turned 18 and they were allowed. And yeah. It kind of changed their minds a little bit too. Like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the incidences that we've been through in your career, there are many, many cops that will never go through what we went through. Right. And our kids went through it with us.
Right.
And so my kids are a little bit more black and white.
Yeah.
You know, so it took a lot for them to step back and understand. And I think that even with you, your son seemed to get the hardest. And I think it's because he's a, quote, boy, and he's got to grow up to be a man. And I think it was the hardest for him to understand why you were harder on him. And I really think it's because he's a boy. And it's just, I think it's just a man thing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. And my son and I had a heart-to-heart one time, and he basically let me have it, and I was probably well-deserving of being let have it. And, again, we'll talk about more of the darker side of that next time. But so you said something else in there, fight fair, but it's okay to fight.
Oh, absolutely, as long as it's not with your fists.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and you don't hear about it much with officers, and you would hope you don't hear about it much with officers, but that is definitely something we had never been into or whatever is the physical. But back to the verbally fighting fair, and you say that I would question you like a criminal. Well, how could I have done that better? Like, you're talking to officers right now. What do you mean by that? I mean, they probably don't even realize they're doing it.
Yeah. And you're like, your answer would be, my criminals listen to me better than you.
That's true. I've said that many times.
Yeah. You know, but you weren't in an equal opportunity marriage with them. You were in, I'm the law. I'm enforcing what the law says. But I'm not a criminal. And I don't have to obey your law of what Brian's law is at that moment. And again, this is only like for sake of when we were arguing, you know, you wanted it your way and you would always say, well, I'm used to it just being what I want it to be. Well, guess what, buddy? It's not how it works. And I get it. I understand why you thought that way. And again, being that I've always adored you and always, you know, wanted to make sure that I was the best for you, I think that not only was I looking out for my own best interest of you don't get to treat me that way, but for your best interest, because that's not the man that you are, you know? And again, like you said, sometimes you don't even realize what you're doing because you're just so in a mode of whatever. And even though you didn't have your badge on or your, you know, uniform on, your brain instantly just reacts to, oh, there's a confrontation. Let's take care of it. And because I'm going to, you know, conversate back with you, where criminals most of the time are just going to get in the back of your squad, go down and take their punishment, you know, go to jail. Where me, I ain't going to jail. And, you know, when you're arguing, the one is, you know, the people that are arguing are always the one that are right, right? Isn't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
No, that's an interesting way of putting it, because again, you know, there are probably guys and gals listening to this that had never looked at it that way, right? And you're exactly right. When we go into a place and we're going to arrest somebody, or we know that going in into a domestic violence call, a DV call, somebody's going to get arrested and it's going to go our way. And there is many times where I would go into a home, especially going into someone's house, and I would say to them, look, I'm going to be here for the next 10, 15 minutes. And when it's going to go my way, and it's everything is going to turn out the way I want it to, because I'm going to be here for the next 10, 15 minutes. And you're exactly right. I think that's a hard mold for us to break, because we've been given such responsibility and power. Let's face it.
Yep.
It's a power to be able to take away freedoms. And we probably don't mean to do it to our families. It goes back to what you say. It's not an excuse for poor behavior.
Right.
But it is definitely something. And did ride-alongs also give you a better understanding of maybe how to settle a conflict? Or did you not even think about it that way?
I don't think I even thought about it that way. Maybe it did, and I just don't even realize that it did.
So you're saying when you're fighting and you want it to be fair, and the ride-alongs really didn't give you, you didn't even think about if that was a way to settle the argument, mm-hmm. right? So when you... when you confronted me, I'll give you one. Cops sometimes use language that's a little more colorful at times.
Yes.
And you are completely against colorful language. And you would say to me, don't talk like this, don't talk like that. But it is what we are around at a constant time. So how do you put up with that, but yet draw a line when it comes to being at home? I tried the best I could, I think, to not use the same kind of language I would use at work or whatever. But I put these on just so I can hear our voices. But how did you learn to tolerate that to a point? Because I know you had to after a while. I mean, you did, especially when you'd go on me with a ride along. You wouldn't say anything to me in front of people.
Not in front of people.
But why would you tell me not to talk that way? Why? What's your reasoning for me not to talk that way?
First of all, there's no reason for it. One, two. Like I've always told my kids, you sound like an uneducated person. when you're colorful language is your verbs, adverbs, and nouns. And also, you know, when you represent Jesus, the Lord, would you speak or act that way if he were standing next to you? And if the answer is no, then you shouldn't be doing it. And it doesn't matter whether it's your language or whatever, it's your attitude. It's your, you know, what example are you giving to your kids? What example are you showing your wife? Because as a spiritual leader of the house, you are supposed to be leading me spiritually. And if you're not doing that correctly, that also interferes in how our relationship is and that kind of thing. And thankfully, you know, I was raised in a strong Christian home that I was able to hold that strength in the Lord and be able to say to you, no, as your helpmate, say to you, no, you don't get to act like that. You don't get to talk to me that way. If you want to have a conversation and you want to have this discussion, you'll treat me like a human, not, you know, like your wife, I should say, not like a human, but your wife and not your criminal.
Well, we're not going to be so prudish as to say, oh, you shouldn't swear, kiddies. You're talking about for us, for our family, the line that you drew.
Right.
So would it be fair to say that for those who aren't us, what kind of line, and you already said it, But what kind of line do you draw? Let's skip the language because not everybody is like us.
Right.
But I was using that as kind of an example of right. things that you tolerated. But but let's talk to the spouse that they have to draw a line in the sand regarding fighting fair and you are not their criminal. How do you break that to them?
Everybody is going to be different. You know, I'm not, you know, John Smith, the cop, John Smith, I'm just making a name, isn't going to be Brian Gonzalez, you know? So everybody, but as a spouse, you know your cop better than anybody out there. You know them. You know their weaknesses. You know their strengths. You know their vulnerability. You know all of these things, right? And if you're not fighting fairly, you need to have a discussion with your cop and say, hey, if we're going to fight, everybody fights. Making up is the best part. So you got to have a good fight. But if we're going to fight, we need to be fair. And this is what bothers me when you say, you know, you're interrogating me like I'm a criminal. And I've talked to other wives and they've said, yeah, my husband treats me like, you know, he interrogates me.
So you've heard this before.
Oh, I have heard this before. And, you know, the kids, officers' kids. Oh, my goodness, my dad interrogates me or my mom interrogates me, whatever. And nothing towards men versus women, but it seems like the men are a little bit more interrogating than women. But we're softer, and that's what we're made to do. We're made, you know, God made us to be the ones that are soft and, you know, caring and nurturing. And men are supposed to be strong and more warrior-like. You know, that's just the way it is, right? So I can see where it's the dads or the husbands that are a little bit more tough when it comes to the interrogating of whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Where I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully towards men because it's how you're built, right?
Right.
But as your wife, as your helpmate, it is my responsibility to say, hey, you need to tone that down some.
But, you know, it's interesting. We had a conversation with a couple, mm-hmm. and they were about to be married, and mm-hmm. she was the cop and he wasn't.
Yes.
And I've been asked this by others where both of them are cops, and we'll get to that here in a second. But he said, I think, something to you that gave him a little more understanding of her. Because obviously she was that cop while she was home or whatever the case. He never really got into everything, right. But you could definitely see he mentioned to you, and I think I heard him say something, oh, after listening to you, it explains a little more about her.
Right.
So I think anyone listening to this show, hearing what Paula has to say, hopefully it's giving you a perspective on things that you have never heard before that maybe your spouse or they are trying to tell you and for whatever reason you're not listening because you are in cop mode. And I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing wrong with that. What's happening with you and to you, it's fair to say it's normal behavior. You can hear from my spouse the things that I had said or done or whatever, and she just decided to accept those things yet hold, as she said, her identity. Mm-hmm. So I think those are very strong points. Learn to not accept them, but learn to compartmentalize them. Is that fair?
Well, and I think sometimes especially women, we take things very personally, you know. And I think that we have to say, okay, did he really mean that? Or is he just frustrated? I think we need to be a little more forgiving, you know what I mean? Within reason, right? We can't, like I said before, be a doormat and just allow it to keep happening and just keep getting punched with words or whatever to the point where it breaks you down, you know, because that's not right either, where it becomes a mental abuse. That's not right either. But I do think that we need to have a little bit more understanding and a little bit more forgiveness when it comes to some of that, because we aren't the ones that are out there actually dealing with the ugly, right? We get to see a small portion of what the ugly does to you, right? We get to see how it affects your life. And I feel like we are the ones that should be standing there behind you and holding you up. Almost, you know, like Aaron and you know, when they held up his arms, and Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses as he was praying over the army. You know, I think that's our job, is to hold the arms up of our cops and say, we're praying over you, you know? And I think that's the biggest way to get through it, is just keep on your knees and keep praying, Lord, protect their heart, protect their mind, you know, because they're seeing the ugly. I'm not getting water bottles thrown at me. You know, I'm not getting spit on. I'm not getting bit, you know, is it right to come home and take out your anger on your spouse? Absolutely not. But again, sometimes we have to step back and say, okay, what did they go through today?
No, I was just pointing to the mic because I can see that it's fading off a little bit. Wow, that's a lot. You put a lot into that. The interesting part about, you said it, you are a support system, right? You are like your own support system. And I would argue all day, every day, that the spouse of a cop, the spouse of a minister of the badge, the spouse of a minister, has to be you have to be some very strong people, thick-skinned, as thick a skin, if not thicker than us, because you're taking it from both ends. You're taking it from the news that you see about us, and you're taking it from us at times. Mm-hmm. And when you and I hit hard times, and again, we'll get into that more and more, those are times that shake the foundations.
Yeah.
And everything that went into what you just said, you had to play in to you sticking around, because let's face it. I mean, there are some that don't want to take it. And there are some that have put up with the quote abuse of their officer, to them, and they just don't want to take it anymore. And maybe they didn't have any discussions about fair fighting or whatever the case may be. And hopefully by listening to this, it'll give them a little bit of idea of maybe some suggestions that will get them over that hump. Because when you hit a hump, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, it will shake your foundations. And when your foundation is shaken, man, buckle down, because it could wipe you out if you allow it to. So ride-alongs, learning to just have blunt, plain discussions about fighting fair. Mm-hmm.
Making sure you make up.
Making sure you make up. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. What else do you think can keep it like I said, we didn't chase each other around like they did in those videos. But you did do ride-alongs. What were some of the other lighthearted things that kind of helped you?
I feel like with us, you know, you always liked baseball. Mm-hmm. You know, you were a Cubs fan, a Brewers fan. And I think that when you were hitting some of the hardest times in your career that were challenging, and it was challenging for us as a family, I took a suggestion from my aunt. She's a pastor's wife. I called her and I said, Auntie Cheryl, I need you. I need you to give me some suggestions. How do I have conversation with my husband when he is so shut down? And one of the things that she had said to me is, who is he? What does he love? Well, he loves baseball. She goes, well, are you watching the games when he can't watch them? He works third shift. Are you watching the games? I said, well, no. She goes, well, watch the games. So when he gets up in the morning, you know, in the afternoon, you can say, hey, I watched the Cubs game and this is what happened. And, you know, and she said it'll open him up to, oh, you did? You know, let's start the day off positive, you know, with the Cubs game talk or whatever. And I'm goofy. So, you know, so I'd give you the play-by-play, you know, and I would always make up a little game that if the runner got to first base, you had to give me a kiss on the cheek or whatever, you know, just silly little things, right?
Yeah.
And I would keep score and I would keep track of, and you'd always say, you're so goofy. But you know what? It brought a smile to your face. And I think that sometimes we forget about how we used to be dating, you know, and we used to do whatever it took to make each other laugh or to be happy, you know, or to smile, right? And I think we forget that as husbands and wives sometimes, that you fell in love with that person for a reason. And that reason is still there. That reason is still in there. It's still inside that heart. It didn't leave. It may have gotten a little jaded, a little guarded, but it's still there. And I think that, you know, I would bring that out a little bit. You know, just that's just one example, right? Or fishing. You love to fish. And so as a family, we'd go out and we'd fish. And, you know, sometimes the kids didn't want to, and they'd be playing in the rocks or they'd be doing this. And sometimes your frustration would come out and, well, I don't even know why we're fishing because the kids don't even want to fish. But I would always remind you, they're kids and they're here with you, you know? And I think sometimes your officer just needs a little reminder. It's okay. It's okay that they're, you know, they're doing this and but you're still fishing. You know, you're still doing what you need to do to get that stress relief. And I think the other important thing is that we've always done things together. You know, we coached basketball together. We fished together. I did the ride-alongs with you. You know, you got to find that commonality. You know, and it's not fair to just blame it on the officer because, you know, as a spouse, you're responsible too. You know, you're responsible as a spouse to open up. You're becoming guarded and you know, again, you need to be a little bit more forgiving. And of course, it's not taking abuse or whatever else. That's not what I'm talking about. But if they're shutting down, don't go after them because then that's going to just guard them right back up again. You need to, like I said, find a common thing to talk about. What are the silly things that you did when you were dating? Do those silly things. And if it's chasing, I mean... I used to tell you because you'd come home and talk about some chick that, you know, wrestled and this and that. And she was just scrappy and, you know, it took two or three of you to hold her down and she was 100 pounds soaking wet. And so I'd always tell you I'd get away from you. And so I'd always challenge you to try to get me under control. Yeah. And I think sometimes we'd laugh until we're both sitting there, you know, with our stomachs hurting because we would laugh so hard, you know?
Yeah, but for you, too, it's a turn-on. So.
Shut up. Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, like, you know, you got to be lighthearted. You've got to be silly. You know, you've got to remember that your officer once was a silly person and bring it back, you know? And as an officer, you married that person because you trusted them and you loved them. Right? Yeah. You trusted them enough to become their husband or their wife. Why don't you trust them now? Because you don't trust the people on the street? You didn't marry them. You didn't ask them to marry you. You didn't stand before God and your family and say, I do forever. But you did with your spouse.
Very interesting. That I think that's a good way to end it. I think that's part one of our discussion. Good words.
Can we have a fight then?
Yeah, I that's those were good words. I always learn a lot from you when you talk to an audience and talk to a crowd. I've had the opportunity of watching her before an audience, and I'll tell you what, not everybody can do it. I mean, it's not for everyone. Hopefully we can come talk to some of you out there and you'll be able to see us and talk with us. We are the same people that you see on camera. We're no different of people. Well, this is not an act between her and I. We didn't even really discuss what we were going to discuss. We just, here we are having a discussion, and it helps being married for 34 years. But what I wanted to do on this episode of Ministry of the Badge is trying to open your eyes to maybe things that you hadn't thought about. Maybe you know they're there, and maybe this will jar a little conversation with you and your spouse at home. And I would urge you to play this for your spouse as well. Listen to it together and decide that maybe some of the suggestions that we have given you today will help you. On part two of this conversation of Ministry of the Badge, we're going to get into what her and I dub as SOS, surviving the officer-involved shooting. And we will get into that on the next episode of Marriage and the Badge. Thanks for tuning in to Ministry of the Badge. I will see you again in part two. We will see you again in part two.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.